Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that there are still Marty Ray specials left at PutThemInASong.com. So if you're thinking about it, now's the time to do it before they run out. Thanks, guys.
The following has been produced by PutThemInASong.com.
My name is Shane Yoder. I write songs for a living. And every day, I hear stories transform into songs. Now you can too. This episode's awesome. But before I forget, if you're a writer and a singer and would like to do something like Marty is doing on The Root Note, please get in contact me at PutThemInASong.com. Just go to the contact page. I guess the only stipulation would be you need to have a good mic. Or if you live in Nashville, we can hang out in the studio. So I'd also like to apologize for the slight hum of the AC. We decided to keep it running because we were in here for 9 hours almost that day. And it was just getting too hot. So if you'd like to help get a quieter AC, go to Put Them in a Song's Patreon page. But anyway, thank you guys for listening, and I hope you enjoy the longest episode we've ever done. This is Back in Memphis.
Well, you don't have to play, like actually create any new music. You could just...
I'm not creating new music for us.
No, I know that. I'm just saying, you wouldn't have to do that anyway if you decided you wanted to. They have plenty of, like, royalty-free...
Do you know what I do for a living, Marty? Why don't you move that a little bit closer?
Are we recording?
Yeah. You know I do custom music. I write those tracks.
What tracks?
For podcasts. Like, all those music tracks that you were talking about?
Yes.
Like, I do that. Royalty-free tracks. I do that.
But that takes time. It's time consuming.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if hypothetically, if you wanted to have music under all your podcasts and you was like, I don't want to take the time to write it. I'm saying there is plenty that's already done is what I was saying.
I know.
That's it. Don't get offended.
Today's episode is brought to you by Royalty Free Tracks at PutThemInASong.com. Whether your podcast needs a branding intro, or maybe you need a custom film score, or for all you songwriters out there, we also write music for your songs. To hear more about how that process works, go back and listen to the two-part series on the Root Note podcast called Intros Are Songs Too.
Just so y'all know, he's over here in his Hawaiian Jimmy Buffett shirt. Chest is all the way out. I'm having to stare at his naked chest. He's in his shorts. Camo shorts. Floral shirt with a glass of Chianti. And it's just...
I don't even know what Chianti is.
I don't know what it is. It's like some kind of wine, I think.
Is it?
I think so.
This is Cabernet Sauvignon.
Cabernet.
Yeah.
Cabernet. Well,
this is from the top shelf at Walmart.
Oh, but it is the top shelf.
No. I don't think it was.
It was from the bottom.
Yeah. It was right by your bubbly.
No, was it? I just wanted the listeners, if you leave this in, to have the mental picture that I have. Because it's aesthetically pleasing to sit across this table from you.
All right.
Yeah.
I am a trendsetter.
Yeah, you really are.
I do what I like when it comes to clothes and stuff.
I can tell.
I have a lot of old man fishing shirts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones with the flaps on
like
the back.
Like the one you have on now.
No, this is not a fishing shirt. This is a go out for dinner nice shirt.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it? Okay. All right, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Y'all are way back here in the country, so okay.
Yeah.
I like it though. Whatever people want to wear, I definitely am not a fashionista. So I wouldn't have anything to say about it.
No, I'm not either. My closet is a series of two drawers.
That's why your shirt's so wrinkled. It's going out, church wrinkled.
That's And that's why I'll wear this shirt for the next 2 weeks.
Right.
So I don't have to, you know, find another one.
I knew I smelled something. Right. Yeah, I can understand.
Well, that's why there's candles lit and all that stuff. So.
That's why we were burning incense in here.
Yeah.
Like hippies.
So if anyone wants to come out to the studio and hang out, that would be a lot of fun.
Don't worry about what you look like. He accepts you. Just come as you are.
That's right.
That's how it is here. But anyway, the song, we wanted to write a song. When we thought about it, we were like, hey, we both met in Memphis at Best Buy. We said that again. And we wanted to write a song that would relate to other people, but also be personal to us about our time in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with a song called Back in Memphis. And that was, you know, you geniusly started playing something first. You wanted Justin Timberlake-ish type of music. And then we tried that a little bit. And then it ended up moving into a blues, just a straight blues thing. And now it's really gotten...
It's still Justin Timberlake-y.
Is it?
I think so.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. I don't know what your take on what Justin Timberlake is. It doesn't sound like it to me, but I don't have anything against Justin Timberlake. He's from Memphis, and I like a lot of his music.
Yeah, what I had in mind was something poppy and dirty.
I don't know if that's what we got.
No.
I think we got something dirty and bluesy is what I think. But I don't know. Like that's the beauty of music is that however somebody wants, they could call it country for all I care, you know, which is what happens to me a lot in music is mm-hmm. no matter what I sing, because of the way I look, they say, all right, I never thought I'd like that country music.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, you still don't know. Cause that wasn't country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, but I don't think that what we did was at all pop music. If that's what you think. But, I mean, I don't know.
Well, I guess I label pop a little bit differently, maybe.
You know, I think pop just means popular.
Yeah.
So what's popular of today?
Well, there's some loops in here that, I mean, and they're not from anyone else, but there's some pop aspects to
really?
This. Yeah.
See, musically, my musical ear is not as in tuned as yours. That's 100% true.
Which one's that? Your good one or your
my
bad
only
one?
Ear? Like I try to listen to my music with my bad ear, but the ear I can't hear out of. But you have ability to listen. You could probably listen to any song. I could pull up a random song and I could say, and you not know it. And I could say, what genre do you think this is? You could probably say, sounds like, you know, I don't know, steampunk.
Huh?
Steampunk.
What?
Not really that many genres. I know a lot of bands.
There's a lot of genres now.
Well, a lot of bands and artists make up genres.
And they're so hard to keep up with.
Yeah, but there's really, in my mind, there really isn't that many.
Rock, country.
Blues.
Blues and bluegrass. Gospel.
Gospel, yeah.
That's all I think of. When people say, well, it's more of like a alternative punk or something. They got these weird words. It's like smash punk. You ever heard of smash punk? I'm like,
The gent.
Is that
that's one?
Is that one?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I was like, no, I don't know these genres. I said,
yeah.
You mean you like punk music? I think punk music, it did become its own thing.
Punk?
I think punk did.
Yeah. And then there was pop punk.
Exactly. Like,
that's what I'm saying. They all kind of revolve around each other.
I'm okay with you creating the genre of punk, right? Or even grunge, but don't call it a sub of this and this and this. You know what I mean? Like, don't create now subs of grunge and subs of punk, because those are both subs of rock, grunge rock and pop punk rock.
Yeah,
don't create a new sub of already sub.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's not that many genres, but a lot of people make up genres that. Well, this envelops mostly what I hear in the rock genre. This is envelops mostly what I hear in gospel.
Right.
You know, it's...
You go by... See, you're probably going by the melodies and the...
The instrumentation.
The chords that are
played. Progressions. Yeah.
Yeah, so how they're voicing the chords, things mm-hmm. like that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Me, I just go by the sound. So, because I don't even know what chords they're playing unless I look it up. You know what I mean? So,
well, I'm going by the sound. I know it's a 1, 3, 5. You know, whatever.
Which is probably that's Nashville number system. And you're doing like it does natural numbers.
Well, it's Ionian, Phrygian, Dorian.
Oh,
for you music theory nerds, I know the fifth is actually Mixolydian. I misspoke.
Man, I don't know what were you. Is this Game of Thrones? What in the world?
Well, that's Greek. That's the Greek
Dorian, Phrygian. My point, what I was asking was, if does gospel follow a certain path on that number system, and is blues different on the number system?
Blues is probably the most set to that number system.
To the Nashville number system?
To any kind of, like, blues, you hear a blues song, you hear the same progressions. Right?
Right.
It's a 1-4-5.
I guess.
And variations of that. So you go 1, sometimes they go 1-4-1-4. 5, back to 4. You know, it depends on what song you're playing, but that's, you know, it's essentially what you're playing is dominant chords, 1-4-5. That's your blues sound. look, I'll prove it to you.
Prove it. He's going to get his guitar.
What kind of blues? Do you know any blues songs?
Of course. Do you know any blues songs?
I don't.
You know Thriller's Gone?
I think I just told you I know every blues song.
Okay. Well, then play.
That's what I'm saying. You start singing a blues
song. Just
play
the blues.
All right.
You want me to sing a blues song?
Yeah.
All right.
That's why I asked you if you knew any. Hold on. Let me adjust the mic real quick. Did you get my guitar out of tune?
Well, how would I get it out of tune?
You were playing it.
How would playing it get it out of tune? I wouldn't have touched the tuning knobs. Does can playing a guitar get it out of tune?
Yeah.
How?
I don't know. New strings.
Whatever.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I was about to say. So you, just start
are
playing.
You, some, are you texting or are you looking up lyrics?
I'm looking up something.
My wife is telling me. You're texting.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not texting. I was looking up that so I could get. I'm just looking up every. Like, the only blues song, I don't know, all I know is one blues song, but I'm just saying, I know what you're wanting to do, so I'm trying to find multiple blues songs. That does not sound like blues to me.
Well,
that's more like it.
Same chorus.
Yeah, I lost my mom. See, that's blues there. The other way was kind of like...
Then just repeat yourself.
Well, no, like, can you do the blues that goes... Can you do the blues that goes... What is that? So then that's where they would just play...
It goes to the 4.
Yeah, they would just go... Well, I lost my mama... On a cold winter day, my daddy came home and what did he say? He said, hey, I got the blues.
You knew where that was going, didn't you?
I did.
I told you.
I got the blues all day. Now I'm just going to sing something different. Well, I noticed when I came home. And my mama said, I started too late. Okay. I see what you're saying, though. I get it. I like it. But I could really, you could do that all day, and I could sing all day singing something. And I that's what I love about blues, though, is I think a lot of times artists will get up there that play that, like, boom, dun, 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 dun. Da, 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 da. Well, yesterday came. Da, 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 da. She wasn't there. Da, da. You know what I mean? I think they just literally, that's the beauty of it. I think they just get up there and whatever they just had, whatever's on their mind, they go for it.
let me just play a little something that like Stevie Ray Vaughan. It's a branch off of blues.
Yeah, blues rock.
Is it a branch off blues or rock?
I don't know. I would Let's say see. Rock, actually.
Like that's that chug-a-luggin', you know?
Yeah.
You know?
She don't ever grow old. She's my sweet little thing. She's my pride and joy.
Down to the five.
My sweet little baby.
Back to the four.
I'm a little lover boy. So it is blues then, isn't it? Are you saying that the blues, that every blues song is that right there? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying
the majority.
Probably 90% of blues songs are a 1-4-5 progression.
Huh.
But rock, you have so many different...
Have you ever heard Thriller's Gone by B.B. King?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's that right there?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah. Do you know the words?
I know the chorus. I used to know the whole song, but I haven't listened to it in a long time because I get sad when I think about B.B. King. But nonetheless, I know it goes, Thriller's gone. Thriller's gone away. I said the thrill is gone. Thrill is gone away. You've been doing me wrong, doing me wrong. You'll be sorry someday. Okay. It is, man. There's got to be a blues song that doesn't fit that, though. It has to be.
Oh, there's exceptions, obviously.
Yeah. I got to find one now. I really, I want to go home and find a blues song that doesn't fit in that progression. Not because I want to prove you wrong, just because I want to see, I want to hear it.
Yeah.
I wonder if I would even like it. Actually, I mean, where does blues even start? You know what I'm saying? Do you know, does it actually start at Robert Johnson? I don't think so.
That comes from gospel, probably.
I think it does. I think mm-hmm. I think all music stems from...
Africa.
I don't know about that. But I think that, at least in America, I'm talking about America here. So in America, music, I think, started in my opinion, hillbilly music, so like bluegrass, and then gospel. So I think you took those two.
So you think bluegrass came first?
100%.
Where'd the banjo come from?
Well, I know the banjo came from...
Africa.
No, that's what they think. It was actually several different things. The skin, Africa... Because I just heard, we looked this up the other day. The actual banjo instrument, they combined an instrument that came from like Australia or Europe, somewhere in Europe. And then they combined that with another instrument that had animal skin on it from Africa and created the banjo.
Oh, okay.
That's what I read. I don't know. I'm just going by something I read.
It's technically considered a rhythm or like a drum instrument. Rather than a string instrument.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't play it like a drum anymore.
No, but it's very rhythmic.
Yeah, it is that.
It's very rhythmic. It's there are drums that you can tune. You know, tune drums like timpanis. Is that a rhythmic instrument or would that be?
What was that word you just said?
Rhythmic.
No, the what did you say? Tiffany.
Timpani.
What the heck's a timpani?
Boom, boom. Like Georgia of the Jungle.
Are you talking about the big drum?
Yeah.
Oh, you just got to say the big bongo. That's what I call all those bongos.
Well, the bongos are tuned, but they're not tuned to a note. There's a lot of orchestra drums that are tuned to a note.
Yeah, I thought all drums were tuned. You're throwing me a loop here. I even drums that we play, they're tuned. I don't understand.
I know, but... The timpanis are actually, they're tuned to an A. They're tuned to an E. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
yeah,
I see what you're saying.
Drums get tuned.
Yeah,
but the drummer listeners, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm pretty sure you don't tune them to like a scale.
Yeah, you don't tune them to notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there are drums that you tune
to a note.
To a notes.
That's crazy. I did not know
that. The steel drum, you know, the Jamaican.
Yeah, but they're not. Those aren't. I guess those do have to be tuned, because those have to be like. Because those are all. Yeah. Those are all.
Yeah.
Notes.
Yeah. So those, would that be rhythmic or?
To me,
melodic.
To me, when I hear that, I don't hear that. I hear that more as not a drum. I hear that. To me, when I hear that, it makes me think of a piano or something that's.
Well, piano is another one.
I'm just saying that's what I'm thinking of.
It's a hammer hitting a. It just happens to be a string.
All right. So Marty is about to say something that sparked a friendly argument between us that went on for about 40 minutes. And nobody likes to hear somebody argue, even if it is friendly. I got annoyed listening back to it, and I figured you would too. So I took some of the beginning and some of the middle and some of the end and cut it down to 3 minutes. You're welcome.
So to me, there's two instruments mainly that I consider have to be in every song. One or the other. True. This is true for me. If I'm writing a song,
okay,
yeah. Most songs are going to have either piano or a guitar driving the melody, usually. That's usually the way.
Driving the melody or the chords.
Meaning the rhythm, the whole rhythm. The chord is either a guitar or a piano, usually in every song. Now, you can have one or the other sometimes, but in every song that we listen to and we love, it usually is. It's, matter of fact, I'm probably always going to be one or the other. Is it not?
So if you write it on piano, you'd either write it on piano or guitar. So that would be
100%.
That would be the
always.
Driving force.
I think
force.
That always happens. Don't you think?
No.
How do you not think that?
Because I, like we discovered in the beginning of this podcast, I do music for a living. So it's all kinds of different genres. And not everyone has a guitar. Not everyone has a banjo.
Unless, I mean,
why not a violin and a cello?
I'm talking about somebody singing. That's all I'm talking about. Somebody singing. So
why couldn't it be that? I've heard that before.
I've never heard it. You've heard it?
Yeah.
A song. Like somebody wrote a song. Let's not talk about opera or like.
Why?
Like not operas.
What kind of song are you talking
about?
That's like that.
Yes, they do that when they sing opera, but they're actually delivering lines. So it's kind of like an ambient thing. I'm talking about somebody sitting down to write. That's not really a song. It is a song, but it's really a script more than a song. An opera is, because you're listening. That's them delivering their lines as an actor as well as a singer. So you don't want this big production behind them delivering their lines. I'm saying 99% of the songs you're going to listen to and enjoy are going to have a guitar or a piano. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot on Oh Brother, Where Art Thou that have one or no instruments. That's one of the best soundtracks
I've
ever
heard.
Yes,
but then we get into a cappella, which is fine.
And you just have the rhythmic. But I enjoy most. That's one of the best soundtracks I've ever heard.
I love that soundtrack.
Yeah, and you just said most of the songs that you're going to enjoy are going to have guitar or piano.
But I'm saying, if you're going to write one with music, of course there's a cappella. That's been around forever. That's beautiful. People do that. But guess what they do? They have
chords.
They have in the harmonies what sounds a lot like a padded piano.
It's chords.
Sounds a lot like it. So, my point is, that goes back to the thing of, if you're going to write something with music, it's going to usually have a guitar or a piano. Matter of fact, almost always it's going to have one of those, is what I'm saying. Those two instruments, I think, are the most important instruments. That's my point. That's all I'm trying to say.
Is that what we were talking about?
That's what I'm trying to say now at this point. Oh. So, I get my point across to these people. I'm saying the most important instruments in my head are the guitar and the piano.
Okay.
That's just what I feel.
Okay.
That doesn't mean I'm right.
They're definitely the most influential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you go and you hear every concerto, most of them are written with a piano, right?
Probably.
Beethoven, yeah. Mozart, mm-hmm. Bach.
Yeah.
They played the piano to write these things. Mm-hmm. And then all the other instruments joined in and created
this. Well, even before that, there was harp.
That's right. King mm-hmm. David played a harp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, you want to know the truth. Back then, I see the harp is kind of like a guitar.
Yeah. It has strings.
It's a guitar.
It's also a lot more like piano.
Why do you say it's a lot more like a piano? I don't understand why you say it's a lot more like it.
Because if you turn a harp on its side and turn a grand piano on its side,
and then take the thing and dab it,
the only difference is you're hitting the piano with the hammer.
Right, hammer, that's what it is.
And the harp you're hitting, sorry, with your fingers.
Which is what makes it exactly like both. Because you could do the same thing with a guitar. So think about it. If you take a guitar, I've seen people take
guitar. But you can't play chords on a harp like you can on a guitar.
That's true.
You could play different strings at a time.
I'll concede.
I won. You won. All right, we're done.
You won. Cut the thing off. That's all he was trying to do. You can cut the thing right off. Shane is right.
I need to go let my dog in because it's getting dark and he is black as night.
Yes.
And if he's out.
I'm out.
Probably.
Go let him in.
Oh, I got to tell you how Willie stared down an armadillo
the other day. Who's Willie?
The little dog that came out and greeted
you. Okay, I want to hear that when you come back.
Are you going to talk about me if I leave this on?
Turn it off so I can. He does the same thing my dog does. That nipping.
Oh, you know what that is?
What?
I thought he was checking me for ticks. When I first got him, I've never had a dog do that before.
My dog does that all the time.
Yeah, but what I found out is they nibble on you because they have scent glands, and when they accept you as part of their pack, they kind of nibble like that.
What?
Every time I'm gone, like all day.
Hey, don't be biting her. Get out of his butt, bro.
Hey, it's all right.
He's already part of the pack. Anyway. So you were telling me about, what's this dog's name, the little one?
Willie. Yeah, it's
Willie
Hank and
Nelson.
Willie. Hank and Willie.
Hank and Willie.
Yeah.
You were telling me about how he stared down bravely an armadillo.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife got home the other night. Hank and Willie always meet her. They hear the car pull up and the car door shut. So wherever they are in the house, they go run to the door and greet her. And Hank likes to go outside. And there just happened to be two armadillos out there. So Hank chases one down through the woods. Willie, every time Hank runs off, Willie's right on his tail, barking up a storm. And Willie comes back pretty quick. So I usually take a leak. I usually go outside instead of inside. I like it better. So I was out
where you live. Ain't nothing wrong with
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So I.
Do they know
I,
you live in the woods?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that helps. If you live in an apartment downtown and you're just peeing off the balcony, that is a problem.
We also don't have armadillo stories downtown a lot. But so I'm out there taking a leak, and Willie comes running back, and I hear rustling around behind me, and behind the grill, I see an armadillo. And, you know, there must have been two because Hank ran after one. The other one kind of hid behind the grill. And Willie comes back and starts wrestling with this armadillo. And
he was actually...
Well, from what I heard, like there was like some old leaves back there and I heard rustling. You know? So I turned around. I'm like, Willie, what are you doing? And that's when it stopped. And Willie is nose to nose with an armadillo. It's about twice his size, and he's just staring it down.
What was armadillo doing? Just sitting there staring?
He's just sitting there staring. I don't think he felt threatened by Willie.
You know they have leprosy.
Yeah.
They can't carry leprosy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But can dogs get that?
I don't know if dogs can get leprosy. Yeah. But I've never heard of a dog having leprosy.
Well, I've
never heard of a human having leprosy. Let's put it that way. I don't know. But that's not really a thing that we deal with in America.
Yeah. But I just told you the story that I saw an armadillo come running down through the yard to the studio one night. And it got down to the studio because they live underneath the studio now. And as it was looking for a place to crawl back under, I reached down off the deck and punched it in the back. It was like what it felt like was... Yeah, it was like a hollow boom.
Dope.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
His armadillo was like, what the? This dude just punched me.
Yeah.
He just literally just punched me.
Yeah, I'm sure that would confuse animals. Like, if you think about it, nothing in nature just punches.
Have you seen that video of that kangaroo and that guy?
I did see that.
I love that video. Dude, this kangaroo's so like getting ready. He's like to claw him or whatever, and that guy goes. And that kangaroo's just like,
he's like shocked.
He's like,
they don't know what to do.
What the?
Because it's always like teeth. I guess kangaroos kick.
They kick and claw, yeah. And that's what he was about to do. But that dude socked him.
Yeah,
and
I think they don't see it coming.
I think it also rung his bell.
Yeah,
I think he's never had his like bell rung like a human would get when we get punched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had my bell rung, and it's like you're sitting there and you're like, ooh, you're like, you know, what was that? And that's exactly what that kangaroo was going through.
Yeah.
And it was funny because it was a kangaroo.
Yeah, and shark attacks. If you find yourself like a shark attacking you, the best thing to do is punch it in the nose.
I've heard that.
That's
not what I'm thinking
the theory
about.
The theory behind it is, from what I heard, is that sharks' noses have a lot of sensors in it.
I'm hoping that if I'm in that situation, I have a blade and I'll just stab the shark. You know what I mean?
A lot of people go swimming with blades nowadays, I'm sure.
I bet they do.
I would.
Not in the ocean, I think they do.
So now, listeners, we're taking a small break. Shane's wife's texting him. So we're going to play you a little Barry White. Hey, girl. What you wanna do? Just come a little closer.
So this is the text my wife just sent me. She sent me a picture.
Okay. Let me see it.
I want you to describe it.
Alright. I'm seeing a room with blood splattered all on the wall. So I see your wife and a garbage bag. And overalls with a fanny pack and a walkie-talkie standing in front of a blood wall that she just special effects'd all up and proud of it. Standing like super, like Wonder Woman, the pose. But look at the carpet, though, and tell me, like, that looks like brand new carpet, and there's nothing at the bottom to keep that fake blood from dripping onto that carpet.
Yeah. She's on a film shoot.
Yeah, I knew that, so I didn't really... I was wide open to seeing anything.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Anything. You know what
anything.
I mean? Anything. So, the song that we've written.
Great transition. Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
Are you happy with what we've written?
Some parts.
With what we've created?
Yeah. Yeah. Some parts, but I don't think when you collab, like I would have written it differently.
Yeah.
Lyrically.
Right.
And maybe even musically.
So would I.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying.
That's the beauty of collaboration.
I know. I can't say that I'm 100%. You asked if I was happy.
Right.
With it. I am. I guess.
Because I am happy.
I am happy.
Even though I would have done it differently on my own.
Right.
I'm still happy with
that. That's the point I was trying to get at. Like, when you collaborate with somebody, I don't know if you're 100% like.
Satisfied.
I'm trying to not use happy.
Satisfied.
Because I am happy with it.
But you're satisfied, not 100% maybe. Satisfied with it. But you're happy with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes you happy that we finished the song.
Yeah. I think it's great.
I love the song.
Great song. I love the chorus in it.
I think it's a great song. I'm really happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm satisfied as well about it. Even though I had to give it, you know, that's something I don't really do a lot at all, is write with people, right? Because I don't like to have to, it's a struggle for me to give up a piece of what I think I want to do. I want to do it this way. So writing with you is the epitome of that struggle, not in a bad way, meaning... You have a certain mindset that is completely the opposite of mine. So it's like we don't even mesh in the middle anywhere as far as like songwriting, usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's very beautiful that this song came together the way it did to me. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't where I had to just say, all right, whatever, I'll just do whatever you want to do. And it wasn't that way with you either. So I gave some and you gave some. You got what you wanted and I got what I wanted. You know what I'm saying?
I made fun of you. You made fun of me.
That's right.
For choices. Yeah. Yeah, we got it.
And it's beautiful. And the song is, I think, phenomenal. I love the song, especially when you get it done. But I would like it with just acoustic guitar or just you and me.
I think it's a great song for acoustic or production. Yeah.
I don't know what you're, I don't know how it'll sound when you're done, like editing and making that. But as of what we've done with just the, if when I hear just guitar and things like that, I judge a song. And I know it's going to be great. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying I haven't heard the absolute finality of it. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But before that, right now, I love what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You really have a great mind to go to think outside the box. And that's me too. I don't like in the song I did All About That Beard. Like if you can hear in that song where it goes all through the song, it goes doom 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 doom. Well, that is me scratching my beard.
Yeah.
In the mic. I got it.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, well, most people don't know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nobody ever knows that. So the fact that you knew that, if you knew that, is mm-hmm. crazy. You do want something to be a certain way, but you also think outside the box.
There's a lot of...
I know, and I like that stuff.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, it makes it organic.
You know what I mean?
That organic feel, I don't know, it's subliminal.
Yeah. Subliminal messaging, yeah. But yeah, yeah, subconscious
it's,
messaging.
It's kind of like that subliminal messaging. It feels organic when you put breaths into music and you put claps.
So you're big into subliminal messages. Be mindful, audience.
I don't know if it's...
You
like
this podcast.
If it's actually you true, or
this podcast.
Two, how to do it. So
you will listen every day to this podcast. Shane Yoder is great.
Hank is going nuts.
Hank don't like me whispering about you. All He's right. like, don't be whispering to him, whispering to me. Yeah, boy.
This is a part of the podcast where I wasn't sure if I wanted to leave it in or not, but then at the end, I made up my mind, and then I was going to leave it in. So, it's an intimate part of my life, and y'all have shared so many of yours. You know, it's uncomfortable for me to leave it in, but why would I ask you to do something like that if I wasn't willing to do it? So,
all right, so you and I have different versions of Memphis.
We do.
That's something we haven't talked about yet.
I didn't know that, actually. I didn't know that your version was so much different than mine. But it makes sense to me now, thinking back about it, because you never really... I don't know if you can cut this out if you want, but you never really seemed happy. I didn't know if it was just your attitude, the way you were, or if you were genuinely unhappy, and you were genuinely unhappy all the time.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, really. It's a sad thing to think about when I think back about it. I really think and go, man, if I'd have known you better. But you're a northerner that came to like south. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if that's just how they were up north. And at the time, I wasn't very cultured in the sense of, had I been a lot of places at that time, I hadn't been a lot of places at all. Just around Memphis and Arkansas and Alabama, just in the South mainly, is the only place I'd really ever been. But then when I started traveling, I started noticing that, you know, Northerners are nothing like you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're actually, it wasn't just the way that Northern people, that it wasn't just their dispensation of being that way. You were legitimately sad about something, I guess. You know, I know you, and I didn't know that even until... You told me the stories that when we were writing this song, how it wasn't the best for you then.
No. No, it definitely wasn't. You know, it's overall, when I look at it, I know I've met some great people and some of the best friends I've ever had.
Came from Memphis?
Ever. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
Well, then
by the time... But that was in college. When I was in college, you know, you're in a kind of a bubble and you're with these people all the time. And then when it ends, I was, you know, I came back after college. I moved away and went on tour and ended up moving back to Memphis, and that's when I met you. But
you went on tour?
Mm-hmm.
With that rock band, a punk rock alternate smash daddy punk band?
No.
Weren't you in like a rock band or something?
I was in a few different ones.
But you went on tour with a band.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
So I moved back, and my wife, not at the time, but Chrissy and I, made a pact that we're going to move back to Memphis and see where, you know, just to do something different. We lived there before. We could find a place to live. And so we ended up doing that, right? And the whole point of me saying this is all my close friends from college, they all moved away, right? And we kept in touch. We still do every now and then. But other than Chrissy, I didn't know anyone there, really.
In Memphis?
Yeah.
Well,
and
I'm really, really confused at this point because I was under the impression that you told me that you had some bad relationship, like a really bad relationship in Memphis.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons.
That ended after college. That was a...
Okay. So yeah. Now that ended after college. Did you leave Memphis as soon as you left college?
I got kicked out of college.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even finish college?
I did finish.
What'd you?
I finished it in on tour, actually.
Why'd you get kicked out of college?
Multiple reasons. I
want to hear them all.
There was a... I don't think I want to put this in the
I don't
podcast.
Care if you leave this in here or not. I'm still intrigued by it. Genuinely.
I got kicked out because there was... It was finals week. And somebody got a six-pack, right? And we went off college campus, and none of us were of age. We were all pretty much just 20, right?
Yeah.
And
you were of age to go to war, but not to drink.
Yeah. And it's not like we bought a 30-pack, and we're just freaking shotgunning, you know? And it was at a local park or something, and somebody else showed up and said, hey, let's call this guy. Let's get him to bring a case of beer over. Turns out there was like, I don't know how the word spread, but there was probably 30 people, like, in this public park. Right beside the college. It wasn't on campus, but somebody came back and saw that, some student, and tattletaled, right? And I don't think anyone was drunk. I just think they saw beer and went and told some faculty the next day. Apparently, they had a whole list of names, and they all called us in to some kind of room, and everybody just circled around the entire classroom sitting in chairs. That's how they had them set up. And the faculty was at the front, and they brought up, okay, so there was something going on last night. Anyone care to explain? Looked around. No one really wanted to talk. Right. And I stood up and said, yeah, there's a group of people out at the park, and it was my idea to go get some beer, me and a few of my closest friends. It was like two or three, and I didn't mention any names, and we were having a beer. Then people started showing up, and I don't know what happened after that. Who went and got more beer, I don't know. But I will take responsibility for throwing this party. Because I knew the guy that I was having a beer with. He was one of my closest friends. And he really, really wanted to finish college because he was the first one in his, family to do it. And he really felt strongly about finishing, and he was so close to doing it. So I didn't mention any names, but, you know, he was sitting right there, and I just took full responsibility for it. And even though they had this whole list of names, that was one of the reasons why they said they kicked me out. The other reason was they didn't approve of, they thought my relationship with my girlfriend wasn't called for at the school.
What?
Yeah. Is
this a Christian school?
It was.
I thought you went to Visible.
It was.
That's a Christian school? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
At least it was. I don't know if it is now labeled that, but
I had no clue that was a Christian school.
Yeah.
Well, first off, it's very admirable that you did that for your buddy. Right?
I didn't think twice about doing it.
Well, the Bible says if what greater gift can a man give than to lay down his life for his friends? That's kind of what you did. You gave up your own self for a buddy. Mm-hmm. Right? That's very selfless. That makes me feel, you know, proud to know you.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good thing you did.
Yeah.
Because what did it? Even if you still graduated, apparently.
Right? Yeah, it was a joke. They said I could graduate, but I wasn't allowed to walk. From what I remember, I couldn't walk with my graduation class, like my good friends. But I could go finish the credits outside. And essentially what that meant was I have to write a paper. I don't even remember what it was about, but I did that real quick right before I left for tour. But the other stipulation was I had to call every week for the, as long as the school year lasted, and talk to one of the administrators. So mainly it was me talking to an administrator, you know, filling the van with gas. And I was out like where they walk dogs, just talking to him and telling him how the tour was. I don't know how I got a freaking credit for that, but that was one of the stipulations where I had to follow up.
Sounds like somebody there in administration understood the sacrifice you made for your buddies. What was that? You did streak?
Yeah.
Was that true?
Yeah.
I called it?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, no. I actually called what you did?
Yeah. No, that wasn't why I got kicked out of school.
But they did go streaking.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, me and my friends did.
You are a wild man.
I used to be.
You know, all I ever did was fight when I was growing up and ride four-wheelers. But I consider you wilder than me.
See, I've never been in a fight.
In your whole life?
Huh. You know, my brother.
Yeah, well, that's admirable, too.
But that's...
Yeah, it's really foolish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To do.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a stupid thing to do. And what it is, it's pride, right? And when you are controlled by pride, that's what causes men to fight. Mm-hmm. Or women, really. They attribute it more to men than women. But if you are controlled by pride, you will be fighting your whole life. Everybody's against you, and you will always have something to prove. I don't have anything to prove anymore, but back then I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt like it. You know what I'm saying? It felt like, man, I want people to think I'm tough, you know what I mean? And even there's always, no matter how tough you might be or might really be or think, or people think you are, there's always somebody that's a whole lot tougher. Seems like always.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you never really achieve what you're trying to achieve.
There's always somebody better playing guitar. There's always you know.
If you're after that for pride, for the pride of it, then you will always fail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, there's always going to be a better singer than me.
Right.
There's always going to be a better songwriter. I don't go after that anymore. Like, I don't care. I just love to do what I do. And if the fact that there's people that enjoy it makes me happy. You know what I mean? And I know that I'm doing what God put me here to do if there's people that I'm making happy and helping. So, but back then, I did not have that train of thought. Like, you know, like you had when you were streaking through the wedding reception. You know what I mean?
Dude.
You were like, let's just make people happy.
One of the funniest noises and faces I've ever seen come off a person. I keep my shoes on and my socks. I had socks like thigh, or not thigh high socks. you know, the white socks that come up.
I had thigh highs.
Calves.
And my sandals.
No.
Thighs.
They come up your calves.
So you're
right?
Basically wearing tights.
I'm wearing like dressy shoes and white socks that come up to your calves, right?
Right.
I just jump out of a bush and just like start sprinting towards these people. And I'm headed straight for this guy. He's facing me. He sees me, doesn't know what to think, what to do. And he's in his like blue camping chair. He just arms up. Throws his arms up, leans back, falls back out of his chair. His face is pure shock. Like, what in the world is going on? And I jump over / to the side of him and just sprint away into the darkness. You know, I used to be... I told you some stories that I used to be more outgoing. You could tell, you know.
Knowing you now, I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah. Yeah, I changed a lot.
You really did. And some of it for the better. Like, you ain't running through people's campfires naked.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back to that.
I'm trying to get back to streaking.
I'm trying to get back to that streaking mindset where I can just go and I don't get that anxiety in crowds. Like, that makes me...
Did you not have anxiety in crowds before?
No, not at all.
You developed that.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
That is peculiar because usually people that don't like crowds,
I was always quiet
until somebody said, let's go streaking.
Yeah. Or, and I was like, all right, let's do it.
Right.
I was the guy that in a group of friends sitting in a room
that was up for anything. You were the John Belushi.
I was always quiet, but I was always the guy sitting back and listening and taking everything in. And when someone had an idea, all right, let's do it. I was up for it. And now I'm kind of like, is there parking?
Yeah.
You know, what time is it? Because traffic's going to be terrible.
Man, that's just part of getting older. But
yeah.
But I will tell you this, my whole life, I've never been into the music fest scene, being crammed together. And I think that came from growing up being... Like, my city that I grew up in, it wasn't like, you know, I'm not saying this was this is a horrible city, but there was a violence in the city. It wasn't like murders. There was a lot of, like, guys that were, like, fighting. And it was like, if somebody looked at you, like, why are you looking at me? You know, those type of people. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, like, this is the beauty of what Nashville did for me. Because it was the same way in Memphis. Memphis is that way, too. If you stare at someone in Memphis, if they stare at you, it's kind of known that, hey, you have what's your problem? Did you ever feel that?
In Memphis?
You probably have never actually just, you know what I mean? Like, just stared at somebody. Walking through the mall or walking into a restaurant and somebody just sitting there, like, looking at you, like, watching, like, actually, like, following you with their eyes. Like that in Memphis.
Following me?
Following you with their eyes. Like
not that.
That
I know of. No.
My point is, so I notice all that. That happens a lot in Memphis.
Oh, okay.
It does. You don't notice it.
Yeah.
Because you're not that type.
I'm not paying attention to
my city. Yeah. Blava was that way too. So it's like, you know, because I make eye contact with just about everybody. I'm big on eye contact. It's like, you know, the eye is the lamp into the soul. So I like to look at people's eyeballs.
Well, you also have half your hearing, so you have to compensate in other census.
That's true. Even though this year is trying to do everything it can. You know what I mean? Yeah. To be two. But it's like that mentality, I mean, look, people looking at me and me looking at people and me like, man, what are you looking at? You know what I mean? Why are you looking at me so intently right now? What's your problem? And they have the same problem that I had growing up in that regard. So I just thought that's how it was. That's how life was. People just didn't like when somebody stared them down and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Just, if you're staring me down, why are you staring me down? That type of thing. And then I came to Nashville for the first time in my life. And CJ Wilder, who you know, we went to school together in Gosnell. He didn't grow up like me, right? We went to high school. He was two grades below me, but we went to high school together, and he's nothing like me in that regard. Like he's not the type that's gonna stare at you and, you know, like anything like that. But I didn't know that because I didn't really know him that well. He knew me. You know how you know the older kids, but you don't know the younger ones in school.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it was. But anyway, so CJ invited me to Nashville. And when I got here, he would introduce me to people, and I would meet these people and shake their hand one day. And the next day, these people act like they knew me my whole life. Like we would just be hugging each other, like we'd known each other forever. And I was thinking, huh, that's a special environment there. So then from that point on, I was like, I want to move there. So 15 years later, I did. You know what I'm saying? It took a long time for me to, I was saying I was moving to Nashville for a long time. I don't know if it was actually 15 years.
And all it took was a few hugs from strangers, huh?
That's it.
That's it.
I really felt like this is a place that I'd like to raise my children in. An environment like this and not like I grew up in. Not a place where you're just always like wondering if somebody is scheming or they have an agenda and they're trying to like watch you to see, you know, to see if what they can get out of your house or, you know, that type of thing. Yeah. So I wanted my children to grow up, if I could, grow up in a place that had some love in it, you know, and I'm not saying Memphis don't, there's a lot of love in Memphis, but, because once I started experiencing that in Nashville, I kind of took that back to Memphis and it kind of changed me, right? And then, you know, that and a lot of other things changed me, but that among many. But thank God it happened because I was an unruly person, you know, for a long time. It didn't take much for me to get mad and things like that.
My grandpa and grandma I did an episode with them last season, and he calls me all the time and says, hey, man, I listen to that episode that you did for us all the time, and I just want to say how much I love it again. And he has people listen to it, his friends, they say, wow, that it's a special thing. It really is, because you hear stories that you maybe haven't heard in years, and you hear somebody tell it and it brings back memories. Plus you hear a song about that, and I honestly don't think, as far as the Root Note episodes go, I think this, the stories and hearing a loved one talk and hearing a loved one talk about you is probably more powerful than something me or Marty could ever do. A song helps with a different aspect of it.
A song does is like everybody has music in their life. Like most people, I would say, I don't want to say everybody, I don't want to generalize it, but most people have a song that helps them escape or helps them calm down or helps them with all these different emotions. And they always take songs that are already written and say, well, this is a song, this song's about me, or this song's about my brother, or this is, well, everybody wants to have a song about them or about someone they love, or that's a beautiful thing to have anyway. Like it doesn't just add to it. It is it. Like that's why those people are calling to the show. That's why, because they know how special that really is to have a song, a produced song written specifically for this person is very special. It's very special for who Hootie and the Blowfish wrote Let Her Cry about, right? Whoever he wrote that about, that's special that he did that. And it goes on and on. And that song just so happens to be one that's special to millions of people as well. You know what I mean? My point is, that is the thing. I wouldn't take away from the song. The song is exactly the special part about it, that they're taking the time to even have a song written for this person is a beautiful thing.
I don't mean to take away from what I do, but I hear a lot of feedback in even the process of sending details about the song. Like, people think back and think about this person, and they're like, I haven't even heard the song yet, and I'm not even through sending you details, and I'm in tears. Because when's the last time you sit and write down what you want to say to this person? You know, that's a very impactful thing to do.
Right.
Because I don't think I've ever done that. You know, have you? I've written songs for loved ones, but even sitting down, you know, letters and stuff like that, that counts. That's essentially what it is. But they get to hear it in a different form.
I think everybody should. I think, first of all, to address what you just said, I think everybody should immediately tell every person that they love how they feel about them. If it's, you know what I'm saying? Even if it's bad, it should be talked about. To get past whatever it is that, I think that conversation, it heals things. People say time heals things. Conversation actually is what heals it. To me, that's what I think. Yeah, I wouldn't really put that in there.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't.
And what's the little slogan? You have a better voice than you think. And now, everybody, here is Marty Ray singing Back in Memphis. I am a terrible radio host. I'm telling you, I'm not good at this, but when I'm forced, I need to say something. It's terrible.
It's always a curse word.
It's terrible. It's curse words going through my head first, and then I have to filter.
And what's the slogan? I was like, I don't know. You have a better voice than you think. Here's Marty Ray with Back in Memphis. Right? I was like, okay. He went full on 70s rock DJ.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
When all curse words fail, go 70s rock DJ.
70s rock DJ.
I've been here and there, like a thrift store debonair. Picked up pieces everywhere. Back in Memphis, my soul got rhythm stepping out ahead of me. I'd like to take the credit, but everybody sees. Got that mud from the Mississippi, I got spirit down on beer. Hot from the city, branded on the grill. Dark side of an alley, tempted rebel with a steel. A soul without the blues is like a king without Lucy. Back in Memphis, I've been lost and found, baptized by the sound, learned on the battleground. Back in Memphis, yeah, I got revival. I saw, seen some things the way I had it planned. Them mud from the Mississippi, I got spirit down on beer. Hot from the city, branded on the grill. Dark side of an alley, tempted rebel with a steel. A soul without the blues is like a king without Lucille back in Memphis. From the Mississippi, got spirit down on beer. House from the city, branded on the grill. Dark side of an alley, tempted rebel with a steel. A soul without the blues is like a king without the steel. Got the mud from the Mississippi, got spirit down on beer. House from the city, branded on the grill. Dark side of an alley, tempted rebel with a steel. A soul without the blues is like a king without the seal. Back in Memphis, yeah, yeah, back in Memphis, back in Memphis.
Root Note has been brought to you by Put Them in a Song, in collaboration with MBI Studios. All guests know they are being recorded and are willing to be. All music and songs are created and scored by PutThemInASong.com. You can follow the Root Note podcast at Root Note Pod on Twitter. If you would like to have a song or music created for you or a loved one, visit PutThemInASong.com, where you have a better voice than you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Root Note.